Good morning from me, Mark Venn, from the Churn Valley Benefice. Welcome to this service of morning prayer, taken from the Book of Common Prayer, for the day of Pentecost or Whit Sunday. I shall be using the set readings for morning prayer for this day. They will be in a slightly shortened form, and I will be using the New King James Version of the Bible. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as for the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice under the throne of heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent. According to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. We say the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was at the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading from the Old Testament is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16. We shall read verse 9 to 12. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God, the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you should be careful to observe these statutes. Here ends the first reading. The appointed psalm for the day is Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is in her palaces, he is known as her refuge, for behold, the kings assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marvelled, they were troubled, they hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain, as of a woman in birth pangs. As when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of our Lord the hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God. On God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, the first 11 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Here ends the second lesson. The Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. 'Tis he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. The Collect for this day, the day of Pentecost. God, who as at this time didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by the sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, Defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with us all, evermore. Amen. So today is Whit Sunday, Pentecost, sometimes known as the birthday of the Church. A traditional reading, of course, comes from the Acts of the Apostles with the account of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in the communion service, that is one of the set readings. Here we have an alternative reading which goes into the history of the Pentecost festival. The ancient Hebrews had a number of festivals. We are familiar with the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and so on. And there are a great many of them, all of which, though, foreshadowed the work of Christ, as well as being integral to the Hebrews' well-being and religious life. And perhaps looking at the ancient Hebrew feasts might provide a useful study at some point. But where does Pentecost fit in? Well, the Passover was Good Friday, where we had the blood painted on the doorpost and the angel of death passed over because of this. The next day after the Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The day after that was the Feast of the First Fruits, which corresponded to the start of the barley harvest. And then 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits came Pentecost, 50 meaning Pentecost. And this was what's called the Feast of Weeks, which we had in our first reading. Feast of the Harvest, sometimes known as. In this, that corresponded to the end of the wheat harvest and was an opportunity to give gratitude to God for the harvest itself. Gratitude for God's bounty, his giving, his provision. And its fulfillment, of course, God's promise through Christ. He gave or sent another helper to his church, to indwell and empower his church for ministry. And this occurred 50 days after the resurrection. God's gift of a plentiful harvest ensured the physical well-being of the ancient Hebrews. God's gift of the Holy Spirit ensured the spiritual well-being of his church. It was confirmation, if you like, of God's goodness and generosity to his church, and the promise of salvation, and that our resurrection would come to pass. So we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit? I think there are probably two aspects to it we can consider. We can label these as internal and external. The internal workings really come in our second reading from Romans. In John's Gospel, where Christ is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit over the Last Supper, he says, "When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth." And this is what the Spirit does internally. He's there to guide, to direct us, to convict us, to teach us, to reveal new things about God. All of which we need if we're going to live according to the Spirit, as it says in Romans. We need to set our minds on what the Spirit desires. The Spirit lives in you, we are told, and we belong to Christ. And we need to allow ourselves to be open to the Spirit. And the more we allow ourselves to be open to the Spirit, the better he can work with us, guiding, teaching, revealing, directing, convicting. I've done quite a bit of sailing in my time, cruising sailing, around the west coast of Scotland and across the Channel to France. And if we were setting out from Portsmouth, the one thing we would never say when we're sailing is, we are going to Cherbourg. What we'd have to say is, we are sailing towards Cherbourg. The point being, we can never actually tell where the wind is going to take us. Quite often the wind, of course, will be in a good position and we can achieve our objective, our plan. But if the wind is in the wrong direction, then it's no good fighting it, it's not productive. We have to go where the wind will take us. And so we have to trim our sails, our spiritual sails, to the wind of the Spirit. Even if it takes us in a direction we hadn't initially planned on going in. The Spirit can be unpredictable, but he is there to guide, direct, convict and teach, and we need to listen to him, tune in to the voice of the Spirit and allow ourselves to be open to the Spirit. Secondly, what about the external acts of the Spirit, the external working? We cannot read the Acts of the Apostles without being amazed by the power of the Spirit, the supernatural workings of the Spirit, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, which are, of course, outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While the indwelling Spirit helps us, lives with us, guides us, the gifts of the Spirit demonstrate God's truth and power. And in the Acts of the Apostles, the gifts of the Spirit were very much there, being used to confirm the word that was preached by the apostles. Acts of the Apostles talked about the preaching of the word, and it was confirmed by miracles. And some of the miracles performed by the apostles were just the same as those performed by Christ himself, including raising of the dead. Gifts of the Spirit, I believe, are still relevant today. Not so often seen in England, but certainly seen very much in Africa, Far East, but perhaps less so in England. I'm not quite sure why this should be, whether, in fact, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit are not required so much in England. I think more likely is the case that the church in England is perhaps a little bit too complacent and too unwilling to step out in boldness, as the apostles did, and being prepared to go out on a limb, to live life on the edge, as the current words. But I think the gifts are still relevant today, and we do still see them even in Cirencester. There have been accounts of healings and so on. But it needs openness by the church. It needs willingness to be bold, to step out in faith, to be unpredictable, to do the unpredictable thing. The Spirit never takes control of people. We are always in control. But what it does mean is when we do step out in boldness, with the power of the Spirit working through us, the effect is out of all proportion to the effort that we put in. But again, it needs us to be open. So perhaps thoughts for today. How open are we to the wind of the Spirit? Do we trim our sails to the wind of the Spirit? Or do we remain determined to go in our own direction? And secondly, the gifts of the Spirit. Don't despise them. Yes, I know there have been excesses in the past at the start of the charismatic movement. The supernatural gifts of the Spirit are there, still relevant today, to confirm the word, to confirm the power and the love of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, by government or opposition, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour of your name and through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And in the words of the parliamentary prayer, may they never lead the nation wrongly through love of power, desire to please, or unworthy ideals, but laying aside all private interests and prejudices, keep in mind their responsibility to seek to improve the condition of all mankind. So may your kingdom come and your name be hallowed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who from old taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant that by that same Spirit we will hear and understand your word. And on this day especially, when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, give us, we pray, the willingness to be responsive. Teach us how to hear his voice, to listen to him, to listen to his promptings. Help us to allow him to guide us. Then help us to step out and act in boldness to follow his leadings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now, Father, we think of our world. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for the wonderful countryside of the Cotswolds, this area where we live. Help us, we pray, to be good custodians and stewards of your creation, to take care of it. We so acknowledge where the world is going wrong, through selfishness, through greed, through pride of individuals. And we think of those areas where there is conflict, where there are refugees, hunger, where there is famine and drought and suffering. And Father, we pray for your peace. We pray for your relief of suffering. We pray for your healing. And we pray that people will act with mercy, with compassion, with justice and humility, for your name's sake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, we ask your blessing on our community. We pray for your mercy, especially on those who are ill, in distress or any form of hardship, particularly in this difficult time of the coronavirus. Let me mention by name those known to us who need a special touch from you. We ask, Lord, that they may know your healing, that the presence of your Son may bring comfort, peace and joy. And especially for those who have lost loved ones and perhaps not been able to get to funerals, Lord, we pray, uphold them with your love. May they know a special touch from your Son this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we thank you, Father, for the knowledge and the assurance we have that things we pray for in your name, you will hear and you will answer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we finish with the blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And the guidance of the Holy Spirit lead you into the right paths. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and those we love, and remain with us now and always. Amen. Amen.